Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Off the ball, GAA.
I know I will have to at some stage, but like when I'm 50 years of age, I'll still want to be playing for Tip, you know, because I really enjoy it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Vinny, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are we?
What's going on? Do we want to start?
What? Just want to start. So many ways we could start here, Vinny. So many. You were saying the best game you saw, best performance, is it related to our conversation for the performance rankings?
For context, Colin, you sent me a text last night saying...
I know, I told the people.
Yeah, it's a one-on-one in the middle. Like, it's like sometimes I do think with you, Colin, that you don't think football existed 5 years ago. It's just started now, like...
No, I just like asking questions about the game I love. That's all. So it's on a broad people's horizons.
And you got me thinking.
And yours. Like, I got you thinking.
1v1s are gone out of game as such. And then we went down this train of... Mm-hmm. I made the point that Liverpool beating Forest in 88 was probably the best performance of anybody in the last 50 years on the day. That Liverpool performance mm-hmm. that day. That was... Pre-premiership, I get all that stuff, but that great Liverpool team of 88, I grew up around late 80s and it was DVDs at that time. I don't know whether because you were starved of football,
yeah.
But watching that game back and still, I clicked on YouTube and watched it back mm-hmm. last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we forget how good Ray Houghton was, Ronnie Whelan, we forget how good he was, scoring goals. He didn't play that day actually, but did only 2 subs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Guessed their 2 subs, very hard to guess. But the only 2 subs.
Was Doug Leash a sub?
No, Doug Leash started. But Craig Johnson.
Oh, wow.
And Jan Mulby were the 2 subs that day.
What a player.
Alan Hansen. But like it was a proper Forest team as well, full of like really good players.
Walker and Pierce.
Yeah. Clough and.
Nigel Webb.
Nigel Webb, yeah. Yeah. Went on to play for England. So.
Why was it the best?
Oh, you just have it, like YouTube alone, 4 or 5 minutes of your life in YouTube. Which the quality, the goals he scored. Ray Houghton, I think, got the first one. John Aldridge was peak. John Aldridge, Barnes, Beardsley.
Barnes.
Barnes was class.
He's nutmegging lads in the left wing spot, and then there's a goal at the end of it. So,
and we think about the passing game, Jerry, now, and all of this stuff. That like them two teams were proper passing teams. It was a proper good Forest team. Well, that Liverpool in 88,
that's exactly,
I would have got DVDs of that at Christmas. You would have watched it for the whole year long because you wouldn't have got the same access. You didn't have YouTube, obviously. Mm-hmm. So,
but you never saw 5 goals in a game?
No. Never?
Almost never.
Well, it was the quality as well of the goals and against the opposition. Like, you could beat anyone 5-0.
Pitches were cut up and the ball was slightly heavy.
No, I remember it well, lads. Yeah. That's why I was bringing it up.
But the amount of those 1v1 finishes, like, Houghton was a master of it. Once he got 1-on-1, that little thing finished. Beardsley had it in his locker. John Barnes definitely had it. And, right, like, Rush and Aldridge around that time would score goals, all sorts of goals. From everywhere.
I actually thought nowadays, to bring it to nowadays, is that defences were a little bit deeper because of the threat from out wide to the wingers. I wouldn't say wingers are turning into the strikers of yesteryear, but you are definitely reliant on your wide player scoring goals nowadays more so than you probably were. I mean, back then you'd have your wide players would be premier assisters for your 2 strikers, but now you're kind of job sharing.
Yeah, there's a little bit around that, is around systems, and the back three has become fashionable and unfashionable at different stages. So, I mean, if you think of the best Klopp team had Salah and Mane as his 2 wingers, and they were goal threats.
Yeah.
Pep has sort of made people play a little bit differently. Now it's starting to swing back a little bit now into sort of people want good defensive shapes, and you look at probably the Chelsea-Liverpool game. I thought that was a really good game, and I understand all the plaudits Chelsea got, but I think Liverpool played their part, and it was such a basketball game at the sort of last 5-10 minutes. But Cucurella's performance, fullbacks are certainly, there's a lot of talk about them, but and Reece James, the two fullback performances for Chelsea were exceptional the other day, weren't they? So it's and they're probably more defensive than some more attacking fullbacks, but.
Why are long throws back?
Because we still have people who statistically look at that and say, if you do this, you do that, this is the reward for it. So it creates goal scoring opportunities. So therefore, why not do it? And it's as simple as that. I mean, put the ball in the box. If you've got someone good enough.
They hadn't gone away. You could have used these anytime you wanted. It's interesting that they're back.
I don't know. It's ultimately it's down to not every team will have someone that can put it into the right area, and you get a few at the right time at the right moment, and then it just goes from there, and then it creates goal scoring opportunities and puts teams under pressure. All of them basic stuff. Yeah,
I saw Sean McVay, the coach of the LA Rams, talking about it last week. Him and Arteta have become pals, and he said the only parallels between American football and soccer is that every single one of our plays is a set piece, and he's got this kind of giant brain that can remember every single play and every position of everybody, and it's the bit that you can control the most. Yeah. If there's a corner or if there's a throw-in, you can literally tell everybody to stand in exactly one spot, and if they do what they're supposed to do, then because the stats are off the charts now in terms of the numbers of goals and chances that have been created. It's not great to watch, is it?
No, it's not, but and it is about that, having control. If you think about, particularly, say, Arsenal, they probably play Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday for a chunk of the game. So you're not overly training at different stages. So even considered life of a footballer, they probably go in on Monday, and that's none of that's pitch-based. It's around masseuses, it's around a bit of gym work, a physiotherapist, and maybe some video sessions. So the one thing you can do Tuesday before a Wednesday game, if it was a Champions League game, is you can do set pieces, you can practice set pieces, you can do walkthroughs, and ultimately that's the controllable part of a busy schedule. And ultimately then, as you said, the numbers are off the charts, and you can see the sort of results coming out in it. And you think Arsenal 2-1 last weekend in a big game against Newcastle, the two set pieces that won them the game. So they're sitting on top of the league, but that was a huge momentum swing for them, that late goal away in Newcastle, and ultimately it's come from a set piece. So that's where it gives a substance, and that's where the players will go, yeah, get it. Now you can't forget all of the other stuff, the control and the different. And what was interesting about Arsenal, we spoke about a lot, wasn't it, around our midfield?
Mm-hmm.
They started without Zubimendi and went with Rice, Eze and Odegaard at home. And we were chatting, saying that has to be a way of looking at it. And that's, that phrase, it can annoy me if you latch on to other people's phrases, but the phrase of the handbrake on has been going around for a while.
Yeah.
That's taking the handbrake off that midfield, and Roy scores the first goal. So that's Arteta either learning or being sort of forced or hearing the noise.
And then Odegaard injures his knee and has an MCL, and, hopefully it's mild, but he was concerned.
MCL is still 6 weeks, so I would imagine 6 to 8 weeks.
Which is basically Christmas.
Yeah,
a lot of big games in between now and then. So,
hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Yeah,
I want to start with second up here is the FAI Cup. So we had Cork City's brilliant win over Pats on Friday night. Are you disappointed? Is that a sigh of disappointment on behalf of Pats?
No, I think most people, I heard the lads on Friday with yourselves, and I think it was the same on the pod during the week, that Pats were ultimate favourites in everyone's eyes, but there's something about going to Turner's Cross, there's something about going to that stadium that, and Cork have been slowly improving, that it wasn't a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
I think the shock in most people's eyes is not that Cork have gone through, it's the manner in which they've gone through. For Pats to sort of collapse that way is alarming, to be honest with you. It's like, if ever it was a team was in the red, it's Pats this morning in terms of performance rankings, because you can lose any game. You can lose a cup final away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, Jerry, you mentioned that sort of home and away in a cup final is the tradition for years and years. And I think Arthur made a good point. I don't know whether it's down to facilities, but certainly is bit of a part of it. Like, where do you move some of the games? You're moving to somewhere that you're nearly locking fans out. If you go to a Daily Mount, you can only let 4,000 in to a big game.
When Daily Mount's done up, would you make it? No?
No, it's like a tradition. Like, I'm lucky enough to be involved in lots of them, either as a player, as a coach, and you get...
Draws a thing,
and it's right. Sometimes, like, we I remember when I was playing, we got drawn at home. I was at Longford Town at the time, and in 2004, we drew at home, and it was a disaster, and then we went up there and won. You know, it adds to it a little bit. And then you get other ones where we drew a first division team at home, and you get that little bit of luck as well, so... It's part of the sort of tradition, I think, and that's why I wouldn't be mad for changing. But the thing, the Friday night was huge in League of Ireland terms. I still think Rovers will win it. I think that's an obvious thing to say, but what Cork did was brilliant, and the manner in which she done it, and it probably left you a little bit going, what's gone wrong there? You know that way in terms of. The year that's in it, the second city, you look at the crowd there, 5,500, close to a sellout. They probably could have sold some more tickets, but I think there's a restriction, and with the away section, it's 7,000 it holds, isn't it? So maybe it was involved with one game there that was 6,500. It's a brilliant venue when you go there. It's quite hostile, and they just haven't been able to replicate that throughout the league season. But who knows? Let's hope they ultimately pull off the shock of all shocks and end up in Europe in the second round of Europa League. It'd be magical for them.
It would be magical for them.
Is it out of the question?
No, it's not, but it's highly unlikely. I mean, if you're doing out of 100, you're probably saying it's a 70-30 game in favour of Shamrock Rovers. So probably and might even be more than that, might near 80-20. So you need a bit like the other night, everything went away. Shawny Maguire got the early goal.
Well taken, wasn't it?
Brilliant keeper again. Mm-hmm. Was at fault, probably a fault, but Shawny still done everything, kept his composure. Him and Stephen have a checkered history in terms of he was at Dundalk and Stephen never played him, and then he went to Cork and he became an icon of Cork FC, and then he went on and there was stuff around the international setup as well where Shawny probably felt he should have been in more squads. But what a way to answer him back, like, you know. So it was interesting. A lot of heat on Pats now because, to be fair, the ownership there have given Pats everything. They've been given everything to be successful, and they're currently mid-table. They could finish fourth and hope Pats end up, or Rovers end up, winning the cup, which gets them European football, but it's becoming a long shot now. So it's been in many ways a disastrous season for them, and Stephen at the head of that will take a bit of flack now that he probably didn't see coming.
I'm going to ask you to pop on the headphones there. We have Colin Healy speaking after his Kerry side lost to Shamrock Rovers in the other semi-final yesterday, and this is in relation to the Graham Burke incident.
Have you had a chance to look back at the Graham Burke decision, and and what are your opinions on it?
It's a red card.
Anything else to say on it?
No, absolutely. You know it's a red card as well, don't you?
Have you spoken to the referee?
You won't answer, would you?
We spoke to Stephen Bradley there, and Stephen Bradley said it's definitely a yellow card. He didn't think it was anything.
You know, all jokes aside, no, right? Don't mind what Stephen Bradley says, right? Okay, and listen, great respect for Stephen Bradley, absolutely. He's going to defend his players, 100%. But it's like, I know Joe's tackled, I'd say it's a yellow card, he's gone in. But you can't retaliate to the players like that and what he did. You can't, that's a red card. That's violent contact. We all know that. It's a big decision. I'm not going to say it's going to massively change the game. Would have helped us? Absolutely. Of course it would have. Can't be doing that. It's a big decision and he never made it tonight.
Do you think the game might have gone differently if a red card was shown?
Well, it could have. We don't know. Obviously, with the quality that Rovers have, is that they have, listen, they've got so many options and they're such a good football team. But decisions like that, yes, listen, you got to make a call, and we all know, even people in the RT, everybody knows that's a red card.
Just finally, and on a positive note, obviously, yeah, as I said, it's been huge since you've come into the club. It's a huge turnaround, and the club is only moving in a positive direction. What are your goals now for the next season going ahead?
Just to be better. That's what we want to be. We want to be better in the league, and we want to get as far up the league as possible we can. You know, we'll look at bringing new players in. But it's just to take the club forward. You know, and it's going in the right direction. I'm looking forward to it.
There's a commiserations on the result tonight, yeah, Colin, but a fantastic year for KFC, and congratulations
on
that.
You're not going to answer my question, no?
Colin Healy backstage at a play there. He,
poor Ben.
He sounds like a Cork man, thick Cork man, a little bit there, would you say, Colin? Would that be fair?
A thick Cork man? Do you mean thick Dubois?
As in thick, as in like
angry.
Angry. Yeah, that would mean something thick. Different, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, he wasn't justifiably so, no?
It's one of them where, like, it's a shocking, it's not a shocking, it's a bad challenge by Joe Adams. And Brad and Bourke reacts poorly, a little bit like, how dare you tackle me like that? So I'm caught on this one probably. I think if you get 10 people in to discuss this morning, nine of them probably say it's a red card. These little pushes into people's faces, I'm against them always being a red card. So I have sympathy with that. The referee's made that call, and we want them. The player goes down as if he's been punched. He hasn't been punched. It's a push.
You want about the Graham Birkins?
Yeah. Oh, so I'm not having all of them being straight red cards. Oh, the one thing I will say is, Graham Bourke is poor in it. If he does that on a Thursday night in Europa League game, he's sent off. He's got away with one. He should probably miss. I think he would miss the FAI Cup final. We don't know if it has a huge impact on the game. I'm sort of glad it wasn't given as a red. But I understand why Kerry and most people think it is. I get it. But I'm sort of somewhere in three quarters to it being a red, and I sort of half understand that why it wasn't given.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
I can see Colin Healy's point. I do often find that there's an immediate reaction, and because it's in the Premier League, if there's anything like that happens, it's always red. And it's like sometimes, yeah, all right. And Colin's insistent that it's red all day long and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, I get it. Like, and people have seen it. I get it. You can't raise your hands anymore. Should have it. I can understand why vast majority of people think it should be a red.
Do you think like the other way around?
Again, it's insane. Like he shoves his head into the ground. It's mental. Or does any ambiguity? I know this doesn't matter. They won the game 6-1. It was just
it does matter. That we don't know what the impact of the game of it would have had. My point, all I'm trying to say is, again, I could have easy to come in and go, yeah, it should have been a red. Tick all them boxes. Everyone agrees it should have been a red. I understand Stephen Bradley is saying what he's saying because that's his job. That's what he does. I'm just not sure every time you put your hand to someone after a tackle like that.
He didn't put his hand to him. He shoved his head into the ground. There's different. Raising your hand is different to what he did.
Look, there's no doubt Graham Bourke is let himself down. He's very lucky not to have been given a red card. I'm just saying every time you shove someone after a bad tackle doesn't necessarily have to result in a red card. That's the only point. I think Paul McLaughlin gets a lot of credit as a referee for being calm and not overreacting to stuff. And then when he does that, you can't then criticise him for the same thing. So it's finding the balance with it to give the referee his fair sort of dues on it. Would it have changed the game? We don't know. I understand where people are coming from. It is a silly decision by Graham Burke. He's more experienced than that.
Michael Noonan's going to miss the FA Cup final, it looks like, at this stage. You can make the case for Cork. All the Cork fans travel in massive numbers. Michael Noonan's missing. The European campaign is ongoing from a Rovers perspective. I don't think they're going to be distracted, obviously, because the league will be wrapped up. It would have been wrapped up if Derry hadn't scored in the 94th minute against Sligo. But it's not a foregone conclusion.
No, it's not. What was interesting this week was when you hear the likes of Seanie McGuire interviewed after the game and Greg Bulger, both of them spoke about they've been involved with cup finals. Cup finals for Irish League of Ireland players is, particularly when them two would have done it back in sort of 15, 16, they had 3 or 4 years of it. It is a special occasion for you, for your family. Winning a cup can be better than winning a league in the sense of occasion.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that. You know, you've got this whole season where you're clearly the best team, but actually you get that one night of celebration and for years to come, oh, I was part of the best team in the country. But actually, you don't, it's not the same.
No, winning in your national stadium.
Now that they've moved to the Aviva and they're
starting to promote it. You're lifting the trophy, there's generally a big, big crowd. It's from 20 up to, it's been 33, it's 35 lately. It is, in many ways, is a better occasion for the player, for the family, for everybody involved. So I get that. They sold that dream to their teammates, the two of them, by listening to them in their interviews about how special a final week is, the build-up to it. You get your suits, you get all of that little things. You get to stay up in Dublin the night before, you plan for it, all of them little things. So they've got a job to motivate their own group, but be under no illusions, Rovers, we don't hear a lot of noise out of that dressing room. We don't hear a lot of what their plans are, what they want to achieve. But we are hearing that they've had a double on their mind for a long time. And they're not going to turn up in any way, shape or form, not prepared for this game. So, look, I'd say that a lot of people, elephant in the room, a lot of people wanted Pats in the final because it was part of the whole League of Ireland experience. Yeah, You'd have been 35, 40,000, blah, 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 two Dublin clubs, but tough, fair play to Cork. They're on merit, and we hope at least they push Rovers all the way.
So Derry prolonged the league title race. They beat Sligo last night 1-0. Waterford beat Drogheda 2-0. So it could be all over Friday night, Rovers at home to Shells.
Yeah, I think it will be. You'd expect, I think it's done anyway, isn't it? So it's not even a discussion. The big thing is Derry winning last night, Michael Duffy with a late goal, probably secures European football for Derry next year. What they all want now is, and why they want it, is want Rovers to win the double. And I mean them all, as in the teams just below. That would mean Derry going to Europa League. It would mean they'd have a sort of an extra game, even when they do lose. It's a huge revenue stream for Derry. It could be worth in the excess of one to near close on 2 million to them in terms of revenue. One game, one win in the Europa League would mean they're winning a huge amount of money and a chance for a second team to qualify for group stages again next year. And then obviously Bowles look favourites to finish third. And again, Europe is so important to these teams. And then that place goes to whoever between Shells, Pats and Drogheda, they're scrapping out for that fourth place if Rovers do the double. So you might find someone finishes on the double, say Pats or Shells, and all they're doing is cheering on Rovers in the FAI Cup final to go and win. It's a pity. I understand it. It's the way the league has gone. If you want, like, the value of the cup, I remember being beaten in the cup final by Bowles years and years ago and getting into Europe as a result of it.
Because they were the champions.
They were the champions. Right. And Bowles done the double under Roddy and we ended up out in Bulgaria against Lita Slovac with Longford Town. It was quite special, but it was brilliant. It gives a team, it puts a value on the FAI Cup, but it also gives you a team, like at the time it was Longford Town, a chance to dream and play European football.
And that coefficient, though.
Well, look, coefficient. Sometimes
sexy,
you've got to let people dream. You've got you to, do. Like, the
everybody
romance
in their
of the cup is the romance
kids
of the cup. You can't
dreaming of
think about
the coefficient.
10 years' time going, where's the romance of the cup? Why is it dead? Well, it's dead.
I don't think it is dead. I just think loads of teams didn't put their best teams out earlier in the competition. And you win two games, you're in a semi final, and you might get a home draw, and all of a sudden you are dreaming. It's, anyway.
Yeah, but look, it's not been the title race we wanted, but I'll tell you what, the race for Europe is huge and the significance of it is huge. And it's one of them leagues that keep giving, like, that result on Friday night, it feels like a lot has happened since then, but that was huge. It was huge in League of Ireland terms in terms of the manner and, mm-hmm. and the way it happened.
There's only 8 points between sixth and second.
Yeah, it is a tight league. That, like, what was interesting is, even take for example Waterford winning the other day. Like, that's an interesting talking point, Colin, because you sack a manager 3 or 4 games ago, and people go, "What are you doing?" Well, that's why you do it. And the owners of Waterford, from Fleetwood Town, take a very English league view of the run of the club at times, and sack someone and say, "No, we're damned if we do, damned if we don't." They went and beat Rotley yesterday, and are probably three more points away from securing Premier Division status. And when I linked why that's a good sort of way of a talking point is, people like to react and go, "What are you sacking someone for 3 days?" But when you look at, say, Cork, all Cork's talk at the moment is, "We have a plan." Jared Nash was spoke brilliantly after the game. We're trying to build an identity. We've taken a long-term view. And be interested to know what Cork fans would think is, if they'd made a different decision when Tim Clancy left and secured their Premier Division status over a cup final,
mm-hmm.
you wonder which is better for them. It's hard to know. I mean, winning the cup would be better because of the money of Europe.
That solves everything. Like, it actually would rescue their... Because they'll come straight back up. Like, if they qualify for Europe, they'll be able to keep all their players.
But winning the cup is still, even being in the final two horse race, still such a long shot that you feel they might have missed a trick by not securing their Premier Division status when they did. But it's an interesting one.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Who is the best midfielder in the Premier League?
Oh, Moses Caicedo, I think.
You're having that too?
Yeah, I think he has been for
people saying that this time last week.
No, but only because we live in a recency bias. I think he has been for maybe 12, 18 months. I think there's no doubt Gravenberch performs in the league winning team, catches the eye. But I think he has been... And the manner in which he's played in a Chelsea setup that's been a little bit all over the place. I mean, you watch Chelsea the other day, and even with the struggles at centre half, you think this team should be part of the discussion with Arsenal, Liverpool, and Man City, but they're not going to be because they're going to be inconsistent. They're not going to get over the line at different stages. You feel, but on the Chelsea's almost better playing the best teams week in, week out, as opposed to, you could see them struggling away from home in certain games or even at home to teams they should be. And I think he's been absolutely outstanding for nearly 18 months. It took him a while to get going there. And as I said, the messing in the club certainly didn't help him. But you feel like there's a settled team just about to develop at Chelsea. And then they go and do something like lose to Sunderland or Lewis to Brentford, you feel, is always on the way with them.
Have you seen much of Adam Morton from Crystal Palace?
Yeah, I have.
Jack Grealish got player of the match yesterday when Everton won 2-1 against Crystal Palace. Got a late winner. It's Palace's first defeat in 19. But Grealish said they should have given this to Adam Morton, best player on the pitch.
Do you know what excites me about him is, particularly watching him when he played Chelsea a few weeks ago, is his ability to make forward passes. He seems to... That seems to be, it's very easy when you think even of an Irish context. What's the biggest frustration we have is people passing sideways, backways. He's looking for the forward pass always. He can take it on the right foot, left foot. He can pass with both feet. For someone so young, if he continues on that same trajectory, they're going to struggle to hold on to him. He's been that good.
What does he do that's so good?
All you have to watch is watch him receiving the ball. It receives it on the back foot and then thinks forward.
A lot of players don't.
We've become a little sterile in terms of possession, number of passes. You'll see on training grounds on a Monday morning, some of the stats the players are saying. You've made 42 passes and sort of 41 of them were completed. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, great. No, he'll take a few risks. Now, I think in one of his games recently, I think it was the Chelsea game, because that stood out to me. I remember looking at some of the stats around it. He was like 42 passes and 39 were completed. But he'll take a risk. He'll try and fire one into a right wing, as you said, or into a forward in between the lines. So it's the right foot and the left foot element that makes that makes it harder to know where he's gonna play that pass. He's gonna drop this way, that way, so it's harder when he's running at you. And it's just receiving the ball on the back foot, like a lot of coaches try and coach people to do it, but if you have it naturally,
yeah.
When the ball comes across you and it open out, it's gone. So hard to defend against that, but he looks like a hell of a
yeah. Because it is an interesting question, who's the best midfielder in the Premier League, and it always changes. Like, and there's loads of different types of best, I suppose, what you could say for that. But for you, is Wharton up there, or is he very good, excellent for Crystal Palace in and around the England setup, or is he actually for you? No, you're talking about Premier League in general. It doesn't really matter who he's playing for. He's that good.
Yeah, I think he is that good, but like anything, his next move and where that is and when that happens is crucial. So if he went to our Chelsea, he could be really good.
Or United,
he could be really poor and we're going, what are we doing?
Or he fixes United. Is that possible?
I'm not sure.
I'm looking at his heat maps here, and they are kind of, he is actually all action.
He has the defensive element, that you're right. Yeah.
Does he need to leave?
No, not yet. Not in a rush. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is now, they're so well paid at a club like Palace that you're not like, he ain't going to work. He's not getting an apprenticeship in his early 40s to start plumbing or anything like that. So, and he's living the life.
It doesn't rule him out of Tuchel's planning either.
No.
Because he's playing for Palace. No. Palace is so good now.
But ambition-wise, what you do want to do is you want to test yourself. You want to play Champions League football. Yeah. He's good enough to do that in time. Is he good enough to fix Manchester United problems? I think
that's been asked for 12 years, that question, do you know?
Yeah, I think you need more than
one player.
You wouldn't have had them in the red or in the green after.
Well, because they beat they beat who? Who did Man United beat on Saturday?
Yeah, Sunderland. Yeah.
Sunderland. You put them into the green. Like, they're just a bang average team winning a game. Great at home.
I think that's how we left it. Yeah, when we discussed them. To be fair, so it's Caicedo, Wharton. Who else? Top midfielders.
I think the biggest mistake we're all about to make is, and it will take a little bit of time, but if you still don't think the best combination at the moment is outside of Newcastle's midfield three, Liverpool's midfield, when you get that balance right, it's still right up there.
The three from last season.
Yeah, Szoboszlai and McAllister firing all cylinders. I think I understand the form they're in. I understand the question marks. I understand the noise around them. But I think from a squad perspective, someone said to me, they're on a slippery slope. I says, yeah, they might only finish second. You know, in fairness, that is a slippery slope. But I think they've got the makings of like what looks really good. When you look at Isak, there was flashes of him against Chelsea. You're going, yeah, get this. So I think they're on the brink of being really good again. Mm-hmm. Whether that's enough to win the league, I don't know, because, I mean, Arsenal are looking very, very good at the moment. Looks like they've taken the right steps, but it's still between Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City.
And it's still really early.
And it's still early.
Very final one for me. Evan Ferguson left on the bench when Roma won, but Gasperini's come out and said he was carrying an injury. Do you know, is there anything to worry about for Ireland out of the Portugal-Armenia games?
I speak to his dad twice a day. I haven't spoken to him since Wednesday, and I didn't ring him on the way in here because I felt like I would be fishing, so I don't know. Other than, He's playing a lot. He played 60 minutes on Torres United. Didn't expect him to start. The manager did say, I was actually waiting for him. So the match was going on. I was doing stuff around the house. I said, I'll get back to this game around the 50th minute. Expect him to come on after 60. He didn't. Then I was going, why? And the manager spoke about bringing on Diablo. doesn't suit him. He wanted to bring on Ferguson, so he's obviously clean enough. Yeah. It is a real concern because we're short in that area for him.
All right, Chin Chin, Vinny, good stuff. Thanks a million. A reminder, Off the Ball Breakfast is live every morning with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.